Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Okay, so is there anybody in a bad mood today? Is there anybody in a so-so mood? Is there anybody in a mood that wants to hear the Word of God today? Is there anybody who wants to hear in the mood to hear the Word of God for the next 2 hours? I really wasn't expecting that, but okay. Because I didn't have a response to that kind of answer. So if you would, please stand with me as we're going to look at Isaiah 43, starting with verse 14 through 25. As we're going to look at the end of our series today of looking at forgiveness, doesn't mean that we stop forgiving, of course, but the end of it, let it go. So Isaiah 43, starting with verse 14 to verse 25. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. The Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and a horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and waters in the rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. But you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. You have not brought me the sheep for your burnt offerings, nor have you honored me with your sacrifices. I have not caused you to serve with grain offerings, nor wearied you with incense. You have brought me no sweet cane with money, nor have you satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Lord Jesus, again, we praise you for this day. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the songs that we've sang and just the way it's touching in different ways, different people. We thank you for the honor of hearing about our missions. We thank you for bringing us together as a church family to worship you, to sing the songs, and just to give you our concerns and our praises, of course. And now we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, your message. We ask you to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to what you have to say. We pray this together. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Not the song, but who remembers the event of the Edmund Fitzgerald? Not the song, but exactly when it happened. Who was old enough to actually remember it? Okay. In November of 1966, it's not the Edmund Fitzgerald, by the way, but an oar ship named the Daniel J. Morrill was facing a violent storm also on Lake Huron. The force of the winds and the waves split the oar ship in two. The crew abandoned ship as the bow of the ship sank immediately. A little while goes by, and the sailors got into the life rafts and everything that they were able to get into in the different boats. A distress signal had been sent, so they believed that a ship was on its way to rescue them. After a little while went by, the lights of a ship appeared. They thought that their situation was turning better. The rescue ship had arrived. However, they soon realized the horror of actually what was going to take place. That it was not a ship coming to rescue them. It was the stern of the Daniel J. Morrill that was still afloat, under full power, and heading straight for the life rafts and hit them. One man survived after spending hours in the freezing water. Imagine for a moment the feeling that those sailors experienced when they felt that the rescue was there to take place. The joyfulness that they felt, the relief that they felt, only to be replaced by the horror when they realized what was actually happening. About to be run over by the very ship you were just on. Sometimes, when we choose not to forgive, we think, I'm getting the upper hand on somebody. If we're honest, sometimes we feel that way. I am in control of this situation. Sometimes when we choose not to forgive, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes when we choose not to forgive and we hold that grudge, we may look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm even happy that I'm not going to forgive that person because they don't deserve it. Now, if we're honest with ourselves, I think we can look at a time or two where we felt something like that, similar to it. I'm getting my revenge. I'm holding it against them. The thing is, we will soon eventually realize that when we do that, we are only hurting ourselves. It's been proven that when we hold on to grudges, when we're constantly talking about somebody that's hurt us and just constantly, you know, holding on to it and refuse to forgive them, how it hurts us emotionally and it hurts us physically. It makes people sick, because that's what sin does. And refusing to forgive is just that. It's sin. You see, sin doesn't just hurt us spiritually. It starts to affect us physically. Now, I'm not saying just because we're somebody sick, that I'm not saying that there's sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when our attitudes go against Christ, it affects us in so many different ways. Even in times when we think, okay, I don't care that if I didn't forgive that person or hold a grudge or whatever, I'm feeling good about it, and we will soon realize, or at some point realize anyway, maybe not soon, but we will eventually realize on how much we are actually hurting ourselves. If you think about it, a lot of people that we refuse to forgive probably don't care. Or they don't know it. Okay, a lot of people sometimes don't even realize they've hurt us. A lot of times they don't care if we forgive them. And that brings, as we're finishing up the question today, or excuse me, finish up the series of a couple of different questions that I've been asked while on this series. We've looked at many different verses on forgiveness and following Christ's example of forgiving. So today there's, like I said, gotten some questions in there, but we're going to look at two specific questions about what I've been asked. The first one is this, and I'm not, before I even ask this question, I'm not going to say I have the exact answer. This is something that we're just going to kind of, well, not really debate, but just talk about a little bit. How do I get to the point of truly be willing to forgive? How do I get that point without that I no longer want to hold a grudge, or I truly want to forgive somebody for what they've done? How do I get to that point? So let's go back to our discussion with the youth. If we want to learn how to hit a ball, what do we have to do? The very first thing we have to do? Decide we really want to do it. So if we want to forgive like Christ, if we want to forgive like it says in the Bible, what's the very first thing we have to do to decide to do? To forgive like Christ. To forgive like it says in the Bible. We can go through step by step on how to do this, how to do that, not to hold a grudge, whatever. We have talked about not spreading it around, you know, like gossiping or even bringing it up about what the person's done to us. We can follow all those steps that we've been talking about through this whole summer. We can do that. We can even do it step by step biblically, but if we have not truly decided in our heart to do it, we will not do it. Not with our hearts anyway. It's like a lot of people are following Christ by just their the things they do, trying to get to heaven even, just by the things that they do. The Bible tells us what? We're not saved by our works. We're saved through the grace of Christ. It's the same thing with forgiveness. If we're just simply doing it, just to be doing the steps, then we're not truly doing it with our hearts. And I believe in order to truly do it with our hearts and experience Christ in that forgiveness, we have to look back at our own forgiveness that we have received from Christ. So I put it this way. If we have never truly experienced the forgiveness of Christ, we cannot truly experience the joy that comes from forgiving someone. If we have never truly experienced the joy that comes when we receive forgiveness from Christ, we can never truly experience the joy that comes when we forgive somebody. Because we haven't truly been forgiven, we're not understanding it. I understand that people who are not saved can forgive people. But it's not the experience of coming from Christ. It's not that biblical experience. It's what, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of people that I know that aren't saved that forgive one another. But when we forgive in Christ, it's a whole different situation. Let me ask you something. Why do we forgive? Now, you don't have to answer that out loud. But why do we forgive? The first thing that we may say is because Christ told us to. Okay? Christ told us to. True. But why? Why does Christ tell us to forgive? Well, it's the right thing to do. True. Is it the right thing to do? Okay, true. It might be the right thing to do. But why? Why is the purpose, or what is the purpose of forgiveness? Is it just to release the other person and make them feel better? So why? This past week, on Wednesday to be exact, was a very emotional day for a lot of people out in Idaho. I don't know if you got to see any of it or any clips of the forgiveness or the sentencing that took place of Brian Kohler, the man who killed the 4 students out in Idaho. Did anybody see when the mother and the aunt of one of the girls that was killed, when they gave their victim impact testimony? Let me read a couple things for you. Excuse me. The mother of Zanna was her name, made this statement. Jesus has allowed me to forgive you even without you asking for it or even wanting it. Jesus has allowed me to forgive you even without you asking for it or even wanting it. Later on in an interview, she talks about how she received forgiveness of Christ when she herself was in jail. She had gone down a dark road of drugs and just different things. She was in jail, and how someone shared with her the gospel of Christ. And she gave her life to Christ. Because of that love that she, or that remembrance of how Christ, how it affected her, how the forgiveness of Christ affected her, she was then able to take and forgive somebody for killing her daughter. The aunt got up made similar situation or a similar statement, saying that how she forgave him for killing her niece. Now, we've heard stories like this and everything, and it's not that I'm trying to take and make it all dramatic, but my point is simply this. Each time they made the comment that they were able to forgive that for what he did to their family member, her daughter, because Christ had forgiven them of their sin. Not that they had to do it. You notice that if you go back and if you listen to the interview, or if you can find it on YouTube or, you know, Google it, whatever. But the mother said there, I am able to forgive. Not that she had to do it. She didn't look at, okay, Christ told me I have to do it, so I'm going to forgive you. She says, Christ has made it so I can't, or I'm able to forgive you. Because of the fact that she realized that she could be almost in the same situation, not maybe for murder, but she had been guilty of sin. We're all guilty of sin, and when we truly understand what Christ has saved us from, sin, the consequences of sin a part of our life, when we truly understand and take that to heart, that's when we are able to forgive the way Christ has called us to. We can look at and say, as we've been looking at, okay, well, you got this step, and you got this step, and you got this step, and you know, just this, and don't remember this, or, you know, try not to remember. And we can talk about those things, but when we don't have the heart of Christ, if we have not made that decision that I'm going to forgive, or able to forgive, because Christ has forgiven me, then we're missing out so much on what Christ is trying to tell us in forgiving one another. We're missing out on so many different blessings. If we are not walking in fellowship with Christ, we will face difficulty and miss the joy of forgiving someone. You know, if we've accepted Christ as Savior, if we've accepted that forgiveness, and even realize, but if we're not walking in a regular and positive fellowship with Christ, have we all kind of, even as Christians, at times strayed in our life? Sure. I'm putting myself, of course, in there. Yes, we have done that. We may walk differently next week. Not intentionally, but you just never know, you know, right? We strive to walk in fellowship with Christ, but sometimes things happen in our life, and somebody's got to bring us back, or whatever. Christ brings us back, you know, into that fellowship. Because when we're not striving to be in fellowship, we tend to forget what Christ has done. We've been looking at the book of Judges in Sunday school. And if you're not already in a Sunday school class and you've missed ours, you're missing a lot. The teacher's great. I'm just kidding, okay? But we've been talking about how the Israelites, you know, okay, they would be with God for a little while when a certain person was leading, or they had a strong leadership. And in class, what would they do? They fall away. And when they fell away, what did they do? They forgot what God had done for them. And it's the same thing in our own personal life. When we're not in fellowship with Christ, you know, we're not walking close to Him each day, each every moment and everything, we start to forget what He's done. We start to take things for granted. And we even start taking or forgetting the forgiveness that's truly there, what we felt like when Christ first saved us. One of the greatest mistakes any person can make as a Christian, to go up to somebody who's a brand new Christian and say, just settle down, because one of these days you'll settle down in your Christianity. Especially when they're on fire for Christ, when they first get saved. Have you had something like that happen? Where somebody gets saved and they're just on fire, they want to do this, they want to do this, they got all these different ideas, and then someone that's been in church for all their life comes in and says, relax. Okay, I know it's new to you, but one of these days you're going to calm down a little bit. That's one of the worst things that could take place. Because that's just telling the person, okay, just relax in your Christianity. Just kind of put off to the side what Christ has done for you. But when we're not walking with Christ, as close as what we should be or could be, we will miss out on so many blessings when we bless somebody. Or excuse me, when we forgive somebody. So how do I get to the point of truly being willing to forgive? If you were, I had several people ask me that question. If you're looking for a step-by-step-by-step, you can read the scriptures and search up. But first off, the first thing you got to do is decide, I want to forgive somebody. I want to forgive, not just because I'm told to, but I want to forgive like Christ because of what he's done for me. I want to forgive. We got to make that decision. Then I had several people ask me this question. How do I forgive someone who's no longer here to forgive? How do I forgive someone who's no longer here to forgive? One thing we need to remember, forgiving is releasing the anger or the holding on to a grudge. So can we forgive somebody, although maybe we can't personally go up to them and say it? Yeah. When we decide to take and release that anger away from us, we can forgive. We may not be able to go up to that person. There's several people in my life that they haven't even died, but they don't want to talk to me anymore. And I've tried to. Okay? When somebody's going to shut you out, they just shut you out. I mean, but I have still in my heart tried to push that anger out. Don't hold on to a grudge. If they were to come up today and say, hey, you know what, I want to go out for coffee, I'd go out for coffee with them. They want to go out for spaghetti, I'd go out for spaghetti with them. My point is simply, when we decide that we want to release that anger, we're able to forgive in our heart. To walk with Christ, in order to forgive others, we need to consider the following steps. Things that when we decide that we want to forgive somebody, we're able to do it. Okay? Reflect on God's forgiveness. Reflect on God's forgiveness. Understand that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross exemplifies forgiveness, which is central in the Christian faith. Okay? In other words, take time to think about the cross. Okay? Two, or the next one, pray for strength. Pray for strength. Does it take strength at times to go and forgive somebody? Even when they come up and ask, I'm really, really sorry. Sometimes, you know, somebody steps on our toes or does something and we're like, I really want to. I've decided to, but doggone, I'm having a problem with it. Have you ever really wanted to try to forgive somebody, but you're trying to keep going? Pray for it. I'm not saying it's going to come instantly. Forgiving somebody oftentimes is a process. Okay? It may take you a little while, but if you're working towards it, you're going to eventually do it. If you're truly working towards it. I am totally convinced of that. If you're truly talking with Christ and praying about it and striving to be Christ-like, you will eventually forgive somebody. If you truly want, it may come a lot sooner than what you ever thought it could. But you will be able to if you're deciding in your heart, I'm going to do it like Christ has called me to. Spend time in prayer, asking God for strength to forgive others. Because sometimes there's a lot of people, Lord, I really need a lot of strength to forgive this one for what they did. Especially when it's somebody that we know that they were right. Okay, or something like that, or somebody we have a beef with or whatever. Practice kindness. Practice kindness. Be kind to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you, Ephesians 4:32. In other words, Jackie, if you want to forgive me, okay, and you're having a hard time with it, be kind to Steve. Now think about it. Think about what I'm saying. If you're practicing being kind to others, you're going to find it being kind to someone that maybe you don't like. It's like a football team. Do they just go out on Sunday morning and play the perfect game? Okay? No. Unless you're the Bears and you're trying to do it and you already know what happens there. Okay? But if we're not practicing it with our friends, how are we going to expect to do it with those who have hurt us? If we're not practicing kindness with each other. Okay? So practice kindness. Embrace grace. Embrace grace. Recognize that forgiveness is about grace rather than fairness, and trust in God's justice. Let me ask you something. Scott, I'm not picking on you. Do I deserve God's grace? I don't know. He's chosen to give it to me, yes, when I ask for it. But he chooses to give me that grace. Recognize that forgiveness is about grace rather than fairness. Life isn't fair. Okay? But we have the grace that comes from Christ that gives us salvation, as we're told in Ephesians. It's grace that comes from God. Embrace that grace that he's given to us. We've talked about the difference between grace and mercy. I've said it enough. You guys say, what's mercy? Right. I had to think about it for a minute. Yes, mercy is not getting what we deserve. Do we deserve punishment? Sure. Do we deserve eternal punishment? Sure. If we have Christ as our Savior, will we get eternal punishment? No. We may have to face consequences here, but we're still forgiven. What's grace? Getting what we don't deserve. Okay? Do we deserve God's forgiveness? No. But he loves us so much that he gives us that grace. Bear with each other. Have you ever been... When I thought about this, and I thought, okay, when you go back, especially with me and my siblings, okay, my old brother and sister, okay, I hope they see that too. Okay? They're older, but they're old. Okay? But... And I can remember sometimes mom and dad are just saying something like, well, just put up with each other. Okay? Sometimes we just simply have to put up with one another, right? When we say bear with each other, that's not what that means. That doesn't mean we'll just put up with one another. Bear with each other means, John Bob, when you're having a problem, that you should be able to come up to somebody in your church family and in confidence tell them about it. That we can bear with one another our burdens, our trials, the things we're going through. Sins that we're struggling with. I'm not saying that the whole church needs to know about it. But I'm saying we need people that we can take and tell the things we're struggling with. You know what, Karen? I'm having a problem forgiving somebody. I should be able to go up and talk to somebody about that. We come to each other. It's simply that. It doesn't always have to be the pastor. Trust me, there's a lot of things I don't want to know. But we should have a church family where we have somebody in our church family that we can go up to and say, I need somebody just to help me bear what I'm going through right now. So bear with one another. So we acknowledge that conflicts and disappointments are part of life. But choose to forgive as part of your new life in Christ. In other words, also understand that part of that bear with each other, understand that, hey, there's going to be times we're going to accidentally hurt one another's feelings. It's going to happen. Whenever you get more than one person, you're going to have somebody that accidentally hurt somebody's feelings once in a while. And if you're hurting your own feelings, if you're the only one person, well, I don't know what to tell you. But there's going to be times when I'm going to accidentally say something wrong, come off wrong. There's going to be times that you're going to accidentally say something and come off wrong. And we just need to realize that we're all human. We all make mistakes. But we forgive with Christ and from Christ. And I truly believe that these steps can help cultivate a relationship with Christ that fosters forgiveness and healing in your life, in our life. When we truly want to forgive, when we truly make the decision, I want to forgive like Christ has forgiven me, we can do it. That's got to be the first step. We have to search our hearts. We have to search ourselves and say, do I truly want forgiveness? If I don't truly want to forgive, I got to find out why. Why don't I want to be like Christ? Because that's what we are as Christians still supposed to be doing, right? Striving to be like Christ. Christ-like, however you want to put that. So if I'm not striving to be Christ-like as a Christian, I got to answer some tough questions and be honest with myself or ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, again, we do praise you for the forgiveness that you have given to us, that you've made available to us. We thank you for the fact that you went to the cross paying for all of our sins, to rise again to conquer death, to conquer sin, to be our living Lord, our living Savior, the one who's promised to forgive us when we truly come to you and seek that forgiveness. It doesn't mean we ever turn perfect on this side of heaven, but it does mean that you walk with us in our trials, in our struggles, in our hurts, and to know that you have forgiven us of our sin. Lord, when it comes time for us to forgive others, help us to reflect on the fact that you have forgiven us, the grace that you have given to us. When we find it hard, that, Lord, sometimes we're just holding on and we just are struggling with it. We pray for strength. We pray for your help. There's a lot of different things we've talked about, like not holding grudges and not constantly bringing up the situations, things like that. But Lord, help us to understand, truly understand, that you're the way that we are able to forgive one another. Lord, again, we do pray that if there is someone here that has not experienced that grace, that knowing that you have died on the cross for them, that you want to walk with them daily, that you want to forgive them. The offer is just there. All we got to do is take hold of it. We pray that they not leave here today without making that decision to ask you for that forgiveness. Lord, help us to walk closer to you in forgiving people through your working through us. We pray this together. Amen.